Talk Live. Give us a call at 855-450-3733. That is the SACL toll-free call-in line here on the live Sunday edition of Free Talk Live. It's Mark with you.
And Stephanie, we're back together again.
That's right. I have missed you so.
Oh, me too, Mark.
855-450-FREE. You can call in, talk about whatever you want to talk about. But we have on the line a special guest. It's Mike Pfeiffer. He is CEO of Strum Ruger. Is that right, Mike?
Well known as Ruger Firearm.
They're right. That's exactly right. Now, you guys are doing something kind of unusual. Apparently, there's never been a gun manufacturer who has ever made a million and sold a million guns in a year.
That's true. I was at the NRA show in Pittsburgh this past May and was looking for an excuse to make a larger donation to the NRA than we normally do. And I decided I wanted to give $1 million. And I tried to think, how could I get this by our board of directors? And we came up with the Ruger Million Gun Challenge to benefit the NRA, where we give a dollar for every one of those million guns.
Well, that'll go by the board of directors, won't it?
They didn't have any trouble with it.
I bet they didn't.
It made complete sense to them. Now, we've never even gotten all that close to it before, and it was a dream of Bill Ruger Sr., who started the company and ran it ably for so many years, and the most he ever got to was 844,000 guns. And so we figured, why not go for it? We had a line of great new products coming out this year. And I knew that if we just asked all our customers out there to help us, that we could probably do it.
So how's it going?
Well, we're at the halfway point now, and we're 566,000 guns in.
Things are going well, then.
We're on track. And one of the things we're doing is, rather than wait to get to the end, every quarter we give a check to the NRA. So I'm giving them another check here in about a week for about another $280,000.
I bet they're happy to have you visiting their conventions.
They let me come visit, that's for sure.
Probably going to give you a special seat.
Well, I'll tell you what, I got a tour of the NRA Museum, and if you ever want to see some fantastic history, all from the Revolutionary War all the way up to the present, that's a wonderful place to go.
Where is it?
It's down in Fairfax, Virginia.
Didn't even know they had one.
Now, it's probably the finest firearms museum in the United States.
What kind of feedback are you getting from the customer base on this? Because I know you guys have a great new lineup out, and what are people saying?
Well, mostly they want us to make more guns. We've got some. We've launched a bunch of new guns this year. Our LC9 compact 9mm, which won Handgun of the Year. Our scout rifle, based on Colonel Cooper's concept for a scout rifle, the guy who ran the Gunsight Academy, and that won Rifle of the Year. And then our SR-40 compact pistol, and then our SR-1911. And that one I've gotten a lot of grief over and completely justified. We didn't begin to estimate how many people would want, and we didn't put enough production equipment in place, but we're scrambling to catch up, and we're investing a lot more so we can double production, but that's a fantastic gun, and people really love it.
Now, I'm familiar with the LC9, the Gunsight Scout Rifle, the SR-40C, but tell me about the 1911. I'm not familiar with that one.
Well, this year's 100th anniversary, and people have been telling Ruger that they want us to make a 1911 for a long time now. We've never quite got around to it because, among other things, it's a really hard gun to make well. And we didn't want to do it unless we did a really good job and had a really tight, really accurate firearm. And we wanted to go back to the Series 70 before they all the extra features and extra safeties were added to the gun. And we spent 2 years working on it to develop the processes and to make sure we had just the right version of the gun. And we launched it at the NRA show.
Excellent. Now, I know Ruger's made in a bunch of different places around the United States. Is that right?
Well, we have two large factories, and the most important thing is they are in the United States, and about 99% of our content and the product is made in the U.S. The only exception is we do buy some pieces of wood occasionally from overseas, and we do buy some semi-automatic handgun magazines from a company in Italy because, frankly, they make better magazines than we can. But the rest of it is all done in the U.S. We pour metal. We actually have a foundry in New Hampshire. We machine. We assemble in both Newport, New Hampshire, in the Lakes region, and then in Prescott, Arizona, up in the northern part of Arizona.
And
so I'd like to know, I'm kind of curious a little bit about the manufacturing process. Could you give us a brief overview?
Well, pretty much we make just about every single thing in that gun. We don't grow the trees, but we shape the wood and that are used in our rifle stocks or handgun stocks. We melt and pour the metal.
And is most of that automated, or are there people actually working on this? I'm just kind of curious about that.
Actually, very little is automated, and with some of this, what they call modern lean manufacturing techniques, we are moving farther away from automation.
Mm-hmm.
And we've actually, the world has sort of turned upside down on its head. It's actually more productive to involve more people instead of less people. That these big robots moving things around just cost a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute you have them in place, well, they're not doing exactly what you wanted to do. Whereas if you have well-trained and motivated folks working in the factory, they can switch on a dime and you can be, you know, producing even better.
Wow.
So we have right now, we have over 1,400 American employees, and all of our employees are American.
So if people are interested in this Million Gun Challenge and, you know, supporting the NRA and Ruger in the process, you know, how do they find out more about it? You know, how do they get involved?
Well, they can track the progress at our website, Ruger.com. And the best way to get involved is go to your local gun store and talk to the folks there and check out the whole line of new Rugers and see if anything appeals to you.
You know,
we sure appreciate your help.
One that really caught my eye, and I like the LC9 and the SR40C, and I frankly don't know which one I would pick between them were I to have to make that decision. But the Ruger Gunsight Scout Rifle, that's an amazing bolt-action rifle. Can you tell us more about it?
Well, it's a departure for Ruger because it's our first detachable box magazine rifle. It's very lightweight, just over 6 pounds. It's got a short but fairly heavy barrel, so it's really accurate. It shoots a 308 round, and it's got an adjustable pull length, more than 2.5 inches of adjustment in the pull length. So it can fit just about anybody. It's got both the regular ring mounts right over the receiver plus a forward-mounted rail. So you can put, as Colonel Cooper was suggesting, a long eye-relief scope so that if you have real quick target acquisition with both eyes open. It's just a terrific gun. I've taken it hunting, but Colonel Cooper's idea was that if you could only have one gun, this one would do it all. You could take it hunting. You could use it for self-defense. Whatever you needed.
Yeah, I think this is one that's destined to be one of those American classics. You know, 50 years from now, people will still be talking about this weapon. I mean, it's a you know, it's an amazing thing. So, have you been in contact with the NRA? What are they saying about the Million Gun Challenge?
Oh, they're excited about it, and I think they're getting into the spirit of things because nobody's ever done this before, no company, and we're really excited to be on track and. Got my fingers crossed we can pull this off and be the first company ever in history to do this.
Now, I have a question. This is a little bit of a tough question, but, you know, why support the NRA specifically? What do you hope to accomplish by doing that?
Well, I think they've done fantastic things for us. You know, I remember not so long ago that I couldn't drive from our office in Connecticut up to our factory in New Hampshire with a gun.
Yeah,
I couldn't drive through the state of Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And the NRA has gotten all kinds of, I would say, low-profile but really important legislation passed, like they've gotten the law where I can now drive across Massachusetts with a gun without the Massachusetts guy stopping and harassing me.
Mike Pfeiffer from Ruger, I appreciate you coming on and telling us about the Million Gun Challenge, and good luck with you. And please update us you know, next quarter.
Okay, Mark, Stephanie, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Mike. Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE.
It's the Cosby Radio Minute, with thoughts and observations from America's favorite comedian, actor, and author, Bill Cosby.
my wife and I sat in class to learn how to have natural child birth. And the first thing they teach you is that you have to breathe properly. See, so when you press down on the muscles, the breathing. That's my wife's job. So she's there. And she was good. My job is to bend my wife in half and say, push. So my wife is there. And I'm there, push. And I'm the cheerleader. Push him out. Shove him out. Way out. Push him out. Shove him out. Way out.
For the latest info on how to connect with Bill Cosby, please visit BillCosby.com. Bill Cosby, America's most beloved funny man, is back with his first humor book since the best-selling Cosbyology. In I Didn't Ask to Be Born, But I'm Glad I Was, his hilarious new collection of observations, Bill Cosby brings us more of his wonderful and wacky insights into the human condition that are sure to become classics. I Didn't Ask to Be Born, But I'm Glad I Was, the newest book from the legendary Bill Cosby, is available wherever books are sold. This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Lil Drums. Every bit as fun as a full-size Nestle drumstick cone and definitely cuter. Visit us at drumstick.com. Vacations are all about family time, but you don't have to leave home to have fun. Take one weekend a month and devote it to family activities. Pull out the board games and puzzles, serve up some treats, or have a picnic. Even without leaving home, you'll feel like you've really had some time away. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
Jason Lewis here. With the holidays just around the corner, be sure to consider the greatest gift you can give to your friends and family: peace of mind. That's why I choose WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious ready-made meals like cheesy lasagna, savory stroganoff, and pasta alfredo that are packaged for freshness in individual metal Mylar pouches and carry a 25-year shelf life. And they're ready to eat in minutes. Simply add hot water. Request a free entree sample today at WiseFoodStorage.com. And for a limited time, get free shipping and 10% off of your order. That's right, a free entree, free shipping, and 10% off any order. Just use promo code Lewis. Call 855-FOODWISE. That's 855-366-3947. Or visit wisefoodstorage.com. That's Wise, W-I-S-E, foodstorage.com. Gourmet emergency food at the best price and the greatest gift you can give to the ones you love this holiday season.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
Now, more Free Talk Live. Dial in at 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live, 855-453. That's the SACL toll-free call-in line here on the live Sunday edition of Free Talk Live. I know you're not used to live programming on the weekend, but we here at Free Talk Live think it's important that you get to have live programming. I know when I listen to talk radio, whether it's on satellite radio or on the radio, that I love having live programming. The you know, recorded shows, they just don't have that same feel to them. I don't know why it is.
Oh, it's just more fun to hear it while it's happening. And you can participate. You can call in and
you can, but most people don't, and I don't, generally. So why do I like hearing live programming? I know. I mean, live programming is important, and the proof is that people listen to it, you know, more. I mean, the numbers just bear it out. So, you know, if you want to participate, you can call in at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. That number is sponsored by SACL CAI here on Free Talk Live's Live Sunday Edition. Also, yeah, you know, it's a participatory show. You can go and participate on the website, too, at freetalklive.com. We have a website there where you can link to, you know, whether it's news stories or blog posts or videos or whatever you want. People vote them up, vote them down. You can do the same to theirs, and it's quite an interactive community. Lots of eyes seeing your story at freetalklive.com. It's Mark with you.
And Stephanie.
So, Stephanie, what story do you have for us?
Well, this is really, really unfortunate. And it relates to Free Talk Live, too, because Free Talk Live has talked in the past a number of times about Amazon.com.
Yep.
And, you know, Free Talk Live has an affiliate program with Amazon. And,
sure have for years.
And I think it's been a very good relationship for both of them.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I've used it myself in the past, and I've had no problem with it.
Thank you.
But, you know, Amazon kind of came under fire a little while back because they had some anti-WikiLeaks stuff that they were doing. You know, they weren't giving the affiliate donations to them or something like that, or they were blocking some kind
Somehow related to it in some way.
Yeah. Or they came out with a statement that said, we will not support them or something like that. And a lot of people were upset about that, but I think that probably very few of them stopped using Amazon because it's just so ubiquitous.
Indeed.
It's so big, and they have so much stuff. I mean, I rely on it so heavily for just, I mean, it saves so much time to have stuff delivered to my door with free shipping than, you know, going out to a store and not knowing whether they're going to have the product I want.
And Amazon has been standing up to certain states on this, you know, sales tax thing. They've gone after Amazon, and
yes,
it's, you know, it's warmed my heart a little bit up to this point.
Yeah, I thought so, too, which is why I think it's so ironic and unfortunate that they came out with this press release a couple of days ago. The headline is, and this is directly from the horse's mouth, from Amazon's own press releases, Amazon strongly supports enactment of NZ Durbin-Alexander federal online sales tax bill. Yuck. Amazon.com today confirmed its strong support for the federal bill introduced this morning by United States Senators NZ Durbin and Alexander that would create a constitutional framework for collecting sales tax online. Amazon strongly supports the enactment of the NZ Durbin-Alexander bill and will work with Congress, retailers, and the states to get this bipartisan legislation passed, said Paul Meisner, Amazon Vice President, Global Public Policy. It's a win-win resolution, and as analysts have noted, Amazon offers customers the best prices with or without sales tax. So this is gross, and I think what it's all about is that if there is an online sales tax, it's going to crush online retailers. I mean, it really is.
It's not going to be particularly helpful.
I know that the physical stores are always arguing for this, you know, that, well, we collect sales tax for all the states. Why shouldn't the online retailers have to? They have an unfair advantage and so forth, yada, yada. Amazon is so big that they could easily just, you know, hire a couple people to change their code, a couple lawyers, and they could easily get through this, and, you know, they don't really care if customers have to pay a little bit extra to the feds.
What this sounds like they're saying is as long as it's applied fairly, quote-unquote, evenly to everybody, then
how is it ever fair to non-consensually take money from someone, you know?
I understand the point. When it comes to taxes and fair aren't words that go particularly well together.
Right.
But you can see the point that perhaps they're saying, well, you know, as long as everybody has to pay this tax, then we're willing to do it. But we're not willing to do it if they just go after us. Because, as you can imagine, states probably have targeted Amazon because they're a big fish.
Well, they have. And there was an example of that with California, I think, a couple of months ago, wanted to specifically put taxes on places like Amazon. Like, they were specifically targeting online retailers that were, like, over a certain size or something like that,
sure,
or that were based outside of California and wanted them to collect California tax. But let me read you a little bit more about what this would actually do, this legislation. It says, if enacted, the NZ Durbin-Alexander bill, I love this tongue-twisting name. Jesus.
It beats it beats the, you know, the fair tax collection bill, or, you know, because they're always coming up with
sometimes they come up with an acronym. Yeah. You know, it's like the Fairness Act, and it'll be like, you know, farting air, and, you know, it's just all this.
The U.S. Patriot Act, I believe, is an acronym sort also.
Yep. And who could argue against something that was called the Patriot Act, right?
Right, and that's what I was trying to make the point, is the Durbin, or whatever this is, Act is better than something like Patriot. That's the point I was trying to make.
Yeah, marginally. Okay, so it says, if enacted, the NZ Durbin-Alexander bill will allow states to require out-of-state retailers to collect sales tax at the time of purchase and remit those taxes on behalf of customers, and it will facilitate collection on behalf of third-party sellers.
Oh, so this is going to, you know, no matter where you buy, you pay, what, your own state sales tax? Is that the idea?
It would make sense. Requires retailers that are based in another state to collect sales tax from the state of the person who buys the thing.
Okay.
And it applies, I guess, to things like eBay, I would assume, because it says it will facilitate collection on behalf of third-party sellers. So basically they're going to strong-arm all these other retailers into collecting sales taxes for all these states.
How's eBay going to collect sales tax? I mean, it doesn't even collect the money. That would be interesting, right? They'd have to figure out something. The politicians don't care.
Yeah.
They don't care how difficult it is for you to comply with their silly law, just that you comply with their silly law. Yeah. I mean, eBay isn't even a retailer.
And they're saying that the government will facilitate collection of the taxes. And, you know, I'm sure that means they'll require you to collect, you as the retailer, they'll require the retailer to collect them and then, you know, not give them any help. They're not going to write the code or anything.
Facilitate? I mean, what does the government do to facilitate anything? They might, you know, send some bureaucrat to tell you what the law means, and that would be the end of it.
Well, in legal land, words like facilitate really mean threaten and stuff like that.
That's what that means.
Yep.
Well, let's go on with this a little bit here, but first I want to take a call from Greg in Cleveland. Greg?
Hey, guys.
What's on your mind?
Stephanie, if I understand, you're getting your MD and your PhD right now?
Yes, that's true.
Okay.
If I make it through school.
Okay, yeah. So I'm actually working on my PhD in medical research. I do blood.
Oh, cool.
Stuff. And I'm at a difficult situation because I'm getting funded by the government, the NIH, on a T32 training grant.
Uh-huh.
And you know, looking for the next step, you know, really, as a scientist, I'm getting trained to be a government-funded scientist who spends all his time writing R01 grants. Right, exactly.
And in case our listeners are not familiar, I want to bring people up to speed. Most of the science in the U.S. is funded by the federal government, the National Institutes of Health, and people write grants to get money.
Sure are. Greg, if you'd hold the line here, we'll get back with your question. If there is a question, 855-450-3733. That's 855-450-3733 here on Free Talk Live.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Smokers, are you still smoking traditional cigarettes? Are you still smelling up your clothes and car interior, staining your teeth, and getting ashes everywhere? Why? When you could be smoking or vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replacement cartridges, you'll get all the satisfaction of smoking, but no smoking hazards. Choose from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquid flavors at LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com, or call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker. Warning: e-cigs may contain nicotine, an addictive substance known to the state of California to cause birth defects or cancer. Please be aware of the risks associated with e-cigs prior to use. You must be 18 years or older to purchase.
Warning: this content is powerful and may cause others to reject your knowledge. If you want to know what happened to America, if you like cutting-edge information, if you need to convince someone that something different than what they believe is actually taking place, and to experience the true history of America you won't find anywhere else, get the new book, Satan's Show. Satan's Show is a hard-hitting look at what many know as the Antichrist and proof of a mind-control agenda. Learn how America was tricked into entering World War I and get over 9 hours of audio and over 700 reliable web links. Satan's Show is available in ebook and audio downloads. Click the special offer for $14.99 and you'll receive both, plus Operation Northwoods on audio free with purchase. Download today at satansshow.com. You will be shocked. You will be amazed. Satansshow.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in now, 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's the SACL toll-free call-in line here on the live Sunday edition of Free Talk Live. It's Mark with you.
And Stephanie.
That's 855-450-FREE. If you're looking for camping, hunting, or shooting gear, ManVentureOutpost.com carries knives, ammunition, scopes, binoculars, laser sights, tactical flashlights, fish finders, and boating equipment. And they've got the best prices. Really. Go check them out before you buy anything online that's to do with camping, hunting, or shooting. It's ManVentureOutpost.com. They're family-owned and members in good standing of the Better Business Bureau. Some prices are so low they can't be mentioned on the air. And, you know, after going there and doing some buying and some looking around, I have to agree with that. You can get an additional 5% off with coupon code FTL. Get it quick. Get it from ManVentureOutpost.com. So we were just talking to Greg in Cleveland about some of his dilemmas regarding being a scientist in America. Greg?
Yeah. So I am right now getting funded for my tuition and my they call it a stipend, my living expenses.
And Greg, just to jump in, did you say that are you graduated yet, or are you still working on your PhD?
I'm finishing up, yeah.
Okay.
We have to write two first author papers, and I'm working on the second one. So, yeah, cool. So that's the requirement for my school. So I'm finishing up now and looking for the next step. And, there are a lot of opportunities to go to these academic labs that are funded under government grants.
Yes.
I'd like to avoid that for several reasons. But it's difficult, it's hard to find something in industry, particularly something that's more hardcore science as opposed to sort of starting at the bottom of the ladder. And I'm curious about what your thoughts are on doing science under such a grant. Not necessarily you're the head of the lab and you're actually writing these grants, but if you're, you know, a postdoc doing 2 or 3 years worth of work, secondly, you know, if you do have as negative view of this as I do, would it be sort of in a way wiped clean if I went to Dartmouth for the Free State project? I'd sort of be get over it.
Well, Greg, first of all, I just want to thank you so much for calling in. This is such a great question, and I can so relate to you, and I hope we can get in touch, actually, because it would be great to sort of network and talk some more with you. My email address is stephanie@freetalklive.com. It's just right up on the website. But, you know, first of all, you said something about looking in industry for a postdoc. And for those who don't know, usually scientists will get a PhD and then they'll do a postdoctoral fellowship, which is called a postdoc. And so they're working on their own independent project. And usually those are done in academia if people want to go on to have their own lab. But some people do them in industry, like pharmaceutical companies. The downside of that is that sometimes you don't get to publish your work if it's like a trade secret, basically. Mm. And so you don't get as much exposure to show for it. You know, you can't really publish a story and let the world know. But, you know, Greg, I've done some looking into this myself because, as you can imagine, I face really similar dilemmas.
Yeah, the government really wins on this particular issue. You have scientists who are funded by the government, and then mad scientists are the ones that aren't. I mean, that's essentially how the public zeitgeist goes.
Well, that's what I was going to say, sort of. I mean, even the pharmaceutical companies, especially startup companies, get grants from the government. They get NIH money, too. It's almost inescapable. And, you know, there are private foundations.
NIH, National Institute of Health?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And you know, it's almost inescapable. There are some private foundations, especially, you know, like there's diabetes research, cancer research, and they have fellowships that you can get. So that might be an option, Greg. If you really don't want to be funded by the government, you could try to apply for your own fellowship from a private foundation and try to get funded that way.
That longevity doctor with the beard that makes the rounds.
Aubrey de Grey.
I mean, you know, I'm just saying, like, there's, you know, one guy out there that might be making it happen.
He's kind of self-taught, I think. I got the impression. I don't even know if he has a PhD, actually. I think he's mostly self-taught. But anyway, Greg, you know, if you want some philosophical perspectives on this, I know Ayn Rand said some stuff about this, but also Murray Rothbard had something to say. And basically what he said about getting paid by the government is that if there's a use for this job in actual society, and like Murray Rothbard would say, it's immoral for the Nazi to work in the death camp killing Jews, but it's not necessarily immoral for a scientist to be paid by the government because science serves a purpose in society that's not just fabricated by the government. Now, I can respect that, and I used to believe it. However, I think that government funding of science so distorts and hurts science and the spirit of it that I have very serious doubts about whether it's kind of the path for me. And so I think, you know, I've been looking into alternatives myself, ways that I could use my skills and encompass my love of science, because I do really love science, you know, and I love medicine. But the system is really tough to work in, and it's so government entrenched. And, you know, I should have known that going in, but sometimes it's hard to understand how fully the government's tentacles reach into all those fields unless you work in them for a while.
Your point of view changes to some extent over time, too. I mean, I don't have the same beliefs I did a decade ago. I mean, how long ago was it that you got into, Greg, that you got into medical school? I mean, it's been 8 years, right?
Well
he's a scientist.
I'm getting my PhD, so it's been about 4.5 years from when I first got in. I definitely would not do this going back. I didn't have a miserable experience, great experience, which is actually sort of rare,
great,
to be honest, as you know, Stephanie. But I wouldn't do it. I mean, I just know that the way that, quote unquote, the system is set up, the set of incentives are just, they depress me. You know, I mean,
well,
I call it one big rent-seeking talent toilet. I mean, really, they're smart people who all they do is they sit in an office and write these grants that don't get funded.
Absolutely. And it's very political, the way that they're decided on who's funded. And it actually incentivizes people not like a lot of people go into science and medicine, and their objective, and I was one of these, is to help people, is to create new cures,
sure.
You know, to do something that's meaningful and important and helps people. But as time goes on, the system guides them in such a way where the goal becomes getting more grants, and that you can lose sight of the fact that you're actually there to help people very easily. And so that's why I say that I think a lot of things about the system hurt science. And, you know, Greg, this is such a tough thing to deal with. And I just want to say, you know, if you're thinking about doing an academic postdoc or a postdoc in general, usually those fellowships are meant to kind of track people into careers where they're eventually going to have their own lab. And so if that's not something that you want to do, if you don't want to be a government-funded researcher, if you want to do something else, I would say maybe don't do a postdoc. You know, maybe just use your PhD and do something else.
Well, you know, the problem is I do need a job.
Yes,
you know,
of course.
There's a certain amount of factors that what I can and cannot do. And, mm-hmm. you know, you need to have that backup plan. And when it comes to doing a postdoc, you know, you have to look at these things very early. So it's a weird type of thing. And for someone like me who doesn't keep his mouth shut, you know, in academia, I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to get mad at people for forwarding stupid videos about, you know, we can't cut funding and science, you know, all this stuff. It's
oh, yeah.
It's culture that drives me up the wall. And I know
I can so relate to you, Greg.
Trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, I can completely relate to that. And it's hard, you know. I mean, I don't hide the fact that I'm a libertarian, but I don't really proselytize at work either at the same time.
Yeah, what would be the point?
You know, so I don't know. If, yes, go ahead.
Postdoc is some kind of paper you guys write? Is that?
No, a postdoc is short for a postdoctoral fellowship. So that means you get a PhD and, you know, you have the PhD degree. And it's like a training project before you get a faculty position.
That's all a degree really is a license to learn what it is that you're going to do at that point. Right?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, it's basically a postdoc is a lower paid scientist who works really hard and gets experience,
yeah.
You know, and it's a stepping stone to other positions. But Greg, please get in touch with me or hang on the line if you have more.
Yeah, did you have more, Greg?
Yeah, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, please.
Hold the line. Interesting topic.
Yes.
And I'm kind of, you know, I'm still figuring it all out with what even the question is here. Free Talk Live, 855-450-3733.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
As we age, we lose both strength and muscle mass. Undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows is nature's most powerful food to gain back lost muscle. Virtually all whey protein powders or drinks have been damaged during processing or are high in sugar. This damaged whey causes a significant loss in the ability of the body to build new muscle proteins. The high sugar content will stop all the benefits of your growth hormone from causing muscle repair. By giving your body easily absorbed, undamaged whey, free of added sugar, you may be able to gain back lost muscle and strength. One World Whey is truly undamaged whey protein powder free of added sugar. Both young and elderly are reporting increases in muscle strength and size without any additional exercise. Go to oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com to read or hear some impressive testimonies to this effect. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have a long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
You have storable food, filtered water, even shelter. But do you have a way to start a fire immediately? Now you can with InstaFire, a revolutionary, safe, simple, and versatile fire starter. InstaFire is a patented blend of volcanic rock, wood pellets, and paraffin wax that gets a fire blazing in just minutes. So just add water to your survival food and enjoy a hot meal in no time. InstaFire is self-sustaining fire and even starts right on top of snow or water or in any severe weather, even 40-mile-per-hour crosswinds. Sound incredible? It is. Check it out at InstaFire.com. A must for any preparedness kit, InstaFire easily lights with matches or flintlock lighters, is environmentally friendly, stores easy with a 30-year shelf life, is lightweight, comes in a variety of sizes, and starts at $1.25 for a single pack, or only $59.95 for a 5-gallon pail with free shipping. Go to InstaFire.com, spelled InstaFire.com, or call 888-482-4868. That's 888-482-4868. Safe, simple, versatile. InstaFire.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live, 855-453. That's the SACL toll-free call-in line here on the live Sunday edition of Free Talk Live with Mark
and Stephanie.
You can give us a call at 855-450-3733. We have been talking to Greg about his distaste of the marriage between government and science and what he intends to do about it with his PhD degree. Greg?
Yeah. So, you know, forgive me if I get too technical here, but, you know, I...
We're past that.
Okay. So what I see what's going on is actually very similar with science funding in the United States. It's very similar to what happened with the housing boom. Interest rates were too low. There was malinvestment, et cetera. The same thing happens in science because if you don't have a market for the production of knowledge, which would be whether it be quote-unquote applied science, testing a product, a drug or something, or the earlier stages of the production of knowledge, which would be quote-unquote basic research, which I don't think are separate at all. So what happens when you have this, I would call it malinvestment, where all of your resources in science are being moved to those lower stages of production, you have this malinvestment that doesn't correlate with what should be happening in the future. You know, when you think about interest rates, when you artificially take interest rates too low, it doesn't correspond with savings, and you have this bust.
This much is true, Greg. Now, I'd like to present a counter argument, and using your example here of the housing industry, and we know that the housing industry basically kick-started this depression that we're in, and you know, it was the government that was thoroughly involved in that. But one thing I'd like to point out is that everybody who had a house during the housing bubble lived in it and had the roof not and had the rain not fall on their head. And so, I mean, there's a morality to building a house, even though the government's going to be involved, and that involvement is going to result in malinvestment and you know, all the things that it gets involved in. The person, you wouldn't say a carpenter that worked on a house that somebody got to live in, even though that house was overvalued by the marketplace, was immoral. Would you?
You mean the carpenter. High prices?
The carpenter.
No. I guess I'm. This is a. This may be a stretch of a metaphor.
No, but I don't think it is. But I don't think, Mark, I don't think it's an accurate comparison, though, because basically, you're saying that government funding researchers is like is like what? The banks giving loans and the scientists are like the
carbon falling apart here. There is points. Like, scientists do a great deal of good in the world. Maybe more good than carpenters. I don't know. A scientist for individual for individual.
I'll finish this. So the thing is with the housing bubble, you actually have this change in prices going up and people can read the market, et cetera. In science, you can't do that. There is no boom and bust. There is only funding, period.
Yeah.
And to me, I think funding science is probably the worst way to spend government money because you will never have any sort of readout that corresponds with, hey, did we make that right investment? Because you can always have the public goods argument and say, well, it's out there and all of humanity can look at our data and we're doing good. And you never have this corresponding analogous to interest rates. You know, you're not corresponding with what you think will happen in the future. So it's so removed from the market process that, it's an awful way to spend money.
Well, I think when you use the superlative, I think you've lost your argument when you use the superlative. I think that one can make the same argument for the arts and NPR and frankly war.
Well, but if it's not a good idea to fund the arts by government, I mean science is an art.
I'm not saying that it's a good idea to fund science with the government. I'm not saying that. But what I'm hearing from you is it's a bad way to agree. It is a bad way. It is a less than efficient way to do it and has all kinds of results which do not the scientist himself, but the government and its intrusions cause all kinds of problems.
I would agree.
But if every scientist says, acts in this moral way and then steps away, then what happens to innovation in that area? Is it stifled? I mean,
first of all, there are very few scientists who are stepping away from science because of a moral or philosophical objection.
I
think there are lots of people who have no problem taking government grants However, it doesn't mean that we as people who maybe do see a problem with that should continue to work in science when we think that it might be a flawed system. And
systems are flawed.
But there are alternative ways that you can use your creativity. Mark, let me finish.
Sure.
There are alternative ways that you can use your creativity and your knowledge of science and your knowledge of physiology and all that to help people without being an NIH-funded government science researcher. Sure. Do you agree with that, Greg?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess where I'm coming from is, Merck worked, the drug company Merck had a big project trying to make a drug to inhibit the protein I'm working with. They dropped that project for good reasons. And a lot of that was some of my work because I was it's not a good drug target. And I don't know if they actually read I don't know. I haven't been in contact with them.
I bet they did. They keep a close eye on those things.
Well, the thing is, these are people who are going after a profit motive, and they saw this way before it was published, and they knew that I was going to conferences, and they got to catch wind of what's going on, and so they dropped it. Mm-hmm. Whereas I'm still doing this grant, and we have funding for another 4 years. So, you don't have that sort of profit and loss, adjustment of trying to invest for the future. It's purely just money being thrown at scientists, and it doesn't matter if I don't think my field is really worth anything right now because it's not the target. So why give me money?
So you don't think that your field is creating innovations for people, saving lives right now?
No, I think
I think that
the protein that I'm working with it's not a good drug target for a lot of good reasons, and I think. In a hypothetical free society, I don't think people would be invested so heavily in this particular protein. I could be doing other things.
A government grant that goes for 4 years and you have to use it up and then it's like your lab is famous for working on this one particular protein, you're going to work on that protein whether it's a good drug target or not, whether it could help people or not. And, Greg, I also did want to mention another point. There are problems with the incentives for pharmaceutical companies as well because they have to pay these billions of dollars in FDA filing fees. And so, when they bring a drug to market, they want a blockbuster drug. They want a drug that people will take for the rest of their life, that they'll have to take every day, and that won't cure their disease, but will keep, manage it as a chronic thing. And so it creates the incentive to basically get these blockbuster drugs that hook people, like cholesterol medications and blood pressure stuff.
Statin drugs.
Yeah.
There was a visiting scientist who wanted to use a sugar that actually exists in the body. You know, because proteins are coated with all these different types of sugars. And he honestly, I don't know how he got the funding for this or how the government approved this, but he gave this sugar to kids with some rare inflammation disease. And it was remarkable. They got better. I mean, they were essentially cured. And he went to venture capitalists and they said, you know, this is great, but this is not a patentable drug. And the only reason that they didn't go after this cheap drug is that, you know, there is no opportunity to have that blockbuster drug because, you know, how are you going to patent something that's already in your body? So, I mean, the patent system has its own problems as well.
Can't he make money bringing something to market in the area of the nutraceuticals or something? I mean, none of those. Vitamin C isn't patented, but companies make money selling it.
I couldn't comment anymore.
Okay.
But, I mean, you know,
well, I suppose he could...
was saying, well, these people, all they do is see dollar signs. They're so greedy. And I'm thinking, no, this is patent law. That's the problem here.
Yes. Thank you for pointing that out, Greg. It's really important to draw that distinction because without the intellectual property monopoly system the way it is, they wouldn't be able to do stuff like that.
Okay, so I want to sum this up the way I see it, Greg. If you're doing something that you don't feel is right or efficient in, you know, like I get you not being involved in it. However, if you're providing a service to the public at large, I don't think you should be too down on yourself because there's government money involved. So, like, for instance, Free Talk Live is broadcast on radio stations and applies, complies with all the FCC rules. We don't do that because we don't believe that the F-bomb is a terrible, you know, terrible, terrible thing. We do it because that's the best way to reach our customers.
Right, but Mark, you're not getting a grant from the government to do Free Talk Live.
We do have licensure, though, essentially through these radio stations. There are only so many radio stations and thus only so many talk radio stations.
It's a difference of degree. You're paying your own salary, and that really affects your work.
Sure,
you know?
It does. I'm just saying that everything out there, Greg, is mired in government bureaucracy. You can't
to one degree or another.
Right.
And this is something I've thought about.
It's either
a lot.
That or get out and sell crack, right?
No, it's not. And, you know, Greg,
there's no licenses on crack.
Greg, I would love to see you in New Hampshire. However you get here, whether it's a postdoc or whether it's some other avenue that you choose to pursue, you know, please get in touch with me. It was a really interesting call.
Thanks for the call, Greg. 855-450-3733. If you've got a comment on this or anything else that's going on, 855-450-FREE.
The Ruger LC9. Compact, powerful, and perfect for personal protection. The LC9 is only slightly larger than the popular Ruger LCP. Features a checkered grip frame to provide a secure and comfortable grip and includes a finger grip extension floor plate. The LC9 also has a dovetailed high visibility 3-dot sight system, blued alloy steel barrel, manual safety, and loaded chamber indicator. The LC9, another innovative American-made product from Ruger. Learn more about the Ruger LC9 at Ruger.com/LC9.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. Are you looking for a concealed carry holster? Crossbreed Holsters is the home of the world-famous Super Tuck, the most comfortable concealed carry holster on the market today. Try one out and see how truly discreet and comfortable carrying concealed can be. And find out why we call it the ugliest holster you'll ever love. We are the standard others try to imitate.
Get the original. Get your Super Tuck at crossbreedholsters.com. Again, that's crossbreedholsters.com.